From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this Thursday edition, Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio, as always. Ole Miss and Auburn tonight from Plainsman Park at Auburn. What's that field called over there?
The field at Plainsman Park.
Okay, you don't know the you don't know the rich guy that's probably dead that's named at, that it's named after.
I know that the rumor is that I'm a giant Auburn fan, but I don't remember that.
So forget the big Snuggie in the corner over there over the top of your chair.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I do sing War Eagle each night before I go to bed.
Body get a body get a body get a ba sis boom ba.
No, it's body get a body get a body get a ba rah 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 sis boom ba. Eagle, 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 beagle, or eagle, eagle, war damn eagle, kick him in the butt, big blue hay.
You know that?
Yeah, I've heard it so many times.
Do they play it too much?
Play it a lot.
See, Tulane plays the hullabaloo too much. That's the one I know because freaking baseball regionals, they play them every hit and every run, every single
That's
time.
That's insane.
A one, a two, a hell of a hullabaloo, Ray, Ray, hullabaloo, Ray, Ray, Vars, Vars, T-A, T-A, Vars, Vars, T-A, Tulane.
Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah. I think I might have got it right. I was close.
I mean, I was a beat writer for 6 years and then a columnist in the state for another three, four, maybe more than that.
So what does body get a mean?
I don't know.
Okay.
I guess I was a columnist for like 5 years.
You forgetting now?
My last year on the beat was 03, 04, 05, 06, 4 years. Okay.
All right, anyway, Ole Miss Auburn tonight.
So I've heard a lot of Auburn fight songs.
Rebelgrove.com, I profiled Dallas Woolfolk this morning. You can go read that there. He has 12 saves. He's one away from tying the single-season record set by Stephen Head in 2003, I believe, if I have that year correct. Dallas, a little more than a 96-mile-an-hour fastball, 97-mile-an-hour fastball, but that does help, as Brett Huber joked the other day. But anyway, Huber, Mike Bianco, Dallas, all talking about Woolfolk's season to date. Give you the exact Mike quote as I ask him to compare some of the past closers he's had. We even got a Scott Biddle photo in the story from 2008. So that and more on the site at rebelgrove.com. Okay, Kendall Rogers joining us on the show today. Kind of got a thousand different directions I want to go. So Kendall joining us today. We'll talk college baseball. We'll talk where Ole Miss is heading into the final weekend. He is the national writer for D1Baseball.com. As you know by now, he's on the show a good bit.
He's kind of good.
Yeah, he is. He knows a lot of things about college baseball.
He knows
tomorrow
more
on the show, we are going to speak with Chris Malloy, the Ole Miss men's golf coach. Ole Miss men's golf advanced to nationals. They finished fourth in their regional. Top five of each regional advances to the next round. So we'll discuss that and more with Chris. The next round is in Illinois. It's I believe Sugar Grove, Chicagoland, just outside Chicago. I think it's Northern Illinois' home course, maybe, if I have that right. So it is there. I talked to Kevin Weeks, another guy that's been on the podcast a good bit, the former player at Ole Miss, who now is the instructor at Cock Hill, that gave you some master tips. He knows that course a little well, so we might even get him on next week too to discuss that as they head up there for nationals. For that, yesterday also, Stephen Ponder submitted his resignation as basically number two in charge at the athletic department. As we posted on the board, best wishes to him as he moves forward. Situation between he and his family and no one else. We're not going to speculate, just wishing him the best as he moves on. But Ole Miss does have a role to fill there. I was told that Michael Thompson and Keith Carter will kind of combine some roles and duties while they figure out what the next step is for that position. But anyway, Ponder out at Ole Miss as of yesterday morning. Also, Parker Stewart may be asking for his release for his LOI.
NLI.
I'm getting so many like numbers or letters and things mixed up.
It's all the same.
Yeah, whatever. NLI. Well, I was thinking FOI, but no, that's freedom of information. That is not the same thing.
He has not filed that either.
Yeah. Hopefully not.
I would think not. But
yeah. Anyway, Parker Stewart. We'll see. Basketball signing. We'll talk about that a little bit too. Just kind of setting up the show for today. A lot of different thoughts. A lot of different stuff going on. So, podcast brought to you by the Oxford Exxon, Highway 6 West in Oxford. Plenty card, ribs, lunch specials that are $4.99. All that good stuff and more up and down I-55 and throughout North Mississippi as well. Any credit goal location, you get the Plenty card, you swipe it, save money. Hulu, Rite Aid, Nationwide, American Express, a lot of different retailers to help you earn points and save money with the Oxford Exxon, Oxford Crystal, 5 for $5 mix and match, country fried steak, fried chicken crystal as well there. So 5 for $5 mix and match. And again, coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
We are Clark Ford in Amory, 662-257-1900, clarkfordinc.com. Call that number, ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote. Send it within 15 minutes, and you can be on your way to a quick, efficient, great car deal. There's no haggling. It's right to the bottom line at Clark Ford in Amory. Let Clark Ford take the hassle out of the car buying experience for you. They've done it for so many of our podcast listeners. You can join that list. And then at the end of your deal, tell Corey you heard about the dealership on the podcast. It's $500 off the bottom line. Clark Ford and Amory, 662-257-1900, clarkfordinc.com.
Popped out yesterday just as we were finishing the show. The Regents Tradition is going on at Greystone Country Club in Birmingham this week. That is a Champions Tour major. For anyone not as really understanding of golf today, probably not the show for you, but or tomorrow, I guess we have Chris on. But anyway, the Champions Tour is a PGA Tour sanctioned tour for 50 and older. So once you turn 50, you qualify for the Champions Tour. It's actually picked up in popularity a good bit. Is they get a lot of good crowds. They play a lot of good courses. You've got John Daly now eligible. I'm sure he's bringing some different segment of the fan base out for his – I bet he's popular in Birmingham. But Daly's a draw in Birmingham.
I would think so. I would think
probably a draw everywhere, but – I bet Birmingham's a good spot for Big John.
I would think that is a safe bet.
Yeah. So, anyway, Freeze yesterday participating in the Pro-Am. I believe he was playing with Jose Maria Olazabal, if I saw that correctly. But before that, a tweet with video popped out yesterday where he walked up to a group of reporters, was asked a question. I'm having to paraphrase a little bit, but how anxious are you for the
how anxious or excited are you for the NCAA investigation to be over?
Right before the question finished, Freeze walked off, clearly disgusted by the topic of the question. My biggest thing with it yesterday was I would have advised him to give a canned answer. Because everybody goes, well, he can't comment. Well, he can give a generic comment. He can go, yeah, we're really excited. We're getting close. We're really excited about the football season. Moving on, they probably would have moved on to a Shea Patterson question or ask him how the greens were rolling out at Greystone Country Club next. Because yeah. I saw the crew of reporters. It was a bunch of TV people that I highly doubt had any ill intent past the ability to get some B-roll for the show that night.
It was also an AL.com guy who, best I can tell, and I asked some people yesterday, mm-hmm. Nah, dude was just getting quotes, throw them up on the video, get video hits. There was nothing malicious in his intent. Now, Freeze didn't know that. I'm not criticizing Freeze. I am going to criticize Freeze on this because this was avoidable.
He actually did AL.com a favor.
Oh, he gave him a much bigger story than the canned answer of, you know, right now our focus is on the off-season program and getting ready for the season. Really like what we did in the spring. Excited about this group and looking forward to getting ready for the 2017 season.
Yeah, that wouldn't have been a big click monster.
Nope. Right now our focus is on getting ready for the season. Really like this group. Anxious to get going. Really, really excited to get to work with our new coordinators. Really like these kids. Had a great spring. Love their attitude. Kind of anxious to get back to it. Didn't finish last year the way we wanted to. Really ready to get a different taste in our mouths. I mean, I'm providing a list of canned answers that could have been provided. And I think you're exactly right. The guy would have followed up with, what do you expect from Shea Patterson in his second season? Or what do you, how do you think your offense is going to be different with the new coordinator? Or what's your favorite hole on the course? Here's my criticism. Don't walk up to the camera crew if you don't want to do an interview. Same criticism I had back in spring. Don't tell reporters what questions they can ask. If you want to cut off access, cut off all the damned access. Do it. It's your program. Do what you want. Don't tell people how to do their jobs. If you don't want to do interviews with TV cameras at Greystone in Birmingham, then don't do them. Don't do interviews. If you walk up to a camera, there's a decent chance right now that you're going to be asked an NCAA question. Your program's response to the second NOA is due any day now. It's a topic of conversation. If you don't want to do interviews, don't do them. No one is making you do them. Go hit the golf ball. You want to attack media, everybody out there? Attack the media. The media sucks. I get it. Hell, I'm in the media and I don't like the media. But not all media is malicious. Not all media is out to get somebody. And just because that media dude's an Alabama fan doesn't mean that he was going for some gotcha moment. Because if he was going for a gotcha moment, that was a real crappy question. And when I say crappy, I mean in the way of formulating a question to get somebody. That was a softball.
That was a question for him to throw it up on air that night.
That was something to get a quote, to put it up, because someone had said, hey, ask Freeze some stuff. Get an interview. Probably get an interview with every coach there.
And there were a bunch.
Yeah, it's a big deal. It's always been a big deal. And as you said yesterday, it's become a bigger deal since that particular tournament has become a major on the seniors tour.
Yeah.
But it's always been a big deal. And Birmingham area and Alabama area media, when I was in Mobile, we went and covered that.
Did you?
Why? It's May. There's not anything else going on.
And you get a lot of football coaches.
And you get a lot of football coaches. And you get some golf dudes. And I remember doing a story on Chi-Chi Rodriguez. And
you get a collection of good talks.
You get a lot of stuff in a short period of time that puts filler in your damn paper.
Yeah. Something's got to fill out some column inches today.
So for those guys at AL.com, it's May. They need some clicks. Guess what? Alabama football and Auburn football don't play for another 100 days.
99.89% of TV reporters are the least malicious people on earth.
Oh, my God.
I mean, good dudes, but completely puppy dog harmless.
If they're pitchers, they are throwing hanging curveballs intentionally.
And we'll tell you so. I just need 15 seconds for 5:30.
They'll literally tell you, hey, can you give me a 20-second soundbite?
You hear it from the back. I mean, again, I'm trying to explain this for people that aren't in media. I'm not blaming you. If I'm in an engineering meeting, I have no idea what's going on. You always will hear it from the back. Like, we'll be kind of talking to a guy about something, and there'll be the TV guy goes, Coach Bianco, can you just talk about Texas A&M and what you kind of look for this weekend? Same kind of thing as yesterday. It's just say something where I get your face in front of the camera for 15 minutes so I can segue to something else.
Because we're going
to
spend 35 seconds of my two-minute segment on Ole Miss baseball.
Yeah.
I've got some highlights that I'm going to put over your
quote.
Could you talk for 20 seconds?
Yeah. Saying really whatever you would like to say. I do not care. So
literally.
Yeah. All right.
Where's the people that are directing him on this? Or is he overriding everyone? I mean, because that deal yesterday was really avoidable.
Probably by himself yesterday, I would think.
I don't know. Really avoidable. And it's no big deal. It doesn't shape anything. It doesn't change anything. The people who are diehard Freeze people are diehard Freeze people. And the people who are against him are against him. For the record, I'm neither. I don't care. But that situation was avoidable.
Yeah, it's not shaping his tenure. No. Yesterday. Changing nothing.
Not shaping anything. I mean, I want to see the response to the NOA.
Yeah.
And then they're going to play a football season. Holler at me after the Vanderbilt game. Tell me a record, and I'll be able to tell you where this thing's going.
Before we get to Kendall, what's going on with Parker Stewart?
Well, Jeff Goodman, very good reporter, talked to Parker Stewart's dad. Parker Stewart's dad said they're asking for a release. As of late last night, they have not asked for a release, and no decision has been made about whether or not it would be granted or what the terms of that release would be. Parker Stewart's dad not particularly happy about Ole Miss signing Markelle Crawford.
So you think the Bill Armstrong thing is nothing but fluff around the actual issue?
I talked to people, two different people who inside the Ole Miss program who said point blank, Bill Armstrong's not recruiting him to LSU.
No, that's not what I'm saying. Stewart's dad said that the assistant coach leaving was the main reason for this.
Well, I'm not going to say that that's false. I haven't talked to him. It's the opinion of people inside the Ole Miss program that this is about Crawford. Okay. But it could be – I know this is going to shock you, what I'm about to say.
Mm-hmm.
It is possible that there is spin being applied both parties.
Yeah.
It is possible that Parker Stewart's dad does not want to admit – we're a little pissed off about Markelle Crawford. That wasn't part of the deal, and that's going to eat my son's minutes, and so I'm going to blame this on Bill Armstrong.
Parker wasn't really ready for minutes anyway, and he and Crawford have nowhere near the same skill set.
Right.
But that's irrelevant.
It's also possible that the people inside the Ole Miss program don't really want to pin this on Bill Armstrong right now because there's differences of opinion inside Ole Miss as to how this whole thing got handled with Kennedy and the contract and all of that.
But you do believe that Bill Armstrong is not recruiting Parker Stewart?
I believe the people who tell me that he's not.
Gotcha. I mean, I'm right in saying that, though. Stewart's not necessarily counted on next year anyway, right?
I don't think Stewart's walking into
any program. Shooter that doesn't play a lot of defense?
Yeah, I don't think he's walking into any program as a difference maker right now. Doesn't mean he won't be a great player, because he can really shoot it. But he's got to develop other aspects of his game, whether that's in Baton Rouge, Oxford, or Murfreesboro.
Saw the dude yesterday, completely random here, he kissed the snake and got bit.
Darwin was on to something. He really was.
What kind of snake was it?
A rattlesnake, an eastern diamondback rattlesnake.
A dude tried to kiss a rattlesnake. At some point, the world's a better place because the snake bit the dude, right?
I know that everybody out there wants to say Jesus loves all the little children and we're all equal. I mean, that's a sweet sentiment. It really is. It's utter bullshit. We're not all the same.
You're not kissing a rattlesnake?
I will kiss anything before I kiss a snake. Why the hell would you kiss a rattlesnake? Why would you touch a rattlesnake? I wouldn't touch a dead rattlesnake.
Please tell me, where was it at?
I don't know.
Please tell me he was trying to like take an Instagram video or something of it too, just to make me feel even better.
I'm hoping. But I'm a firm believer that there are just some people who are just not smart enough to make it. We're not all the same. We have different gifts, different deficiencies.
True.
And some people are just too stupid.
The world eventually catches up to them.
As a rule. You know, I saw the great philosopher Theo Epstein yesterday was talking about the season being a 162-game deal and that typically it all sort of worked out.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're good enough to win or you're not good enough to win or whatever, it all usually works out.
Flaws going to be exposed.
Flaws will be exposed. Strengths will emerge. Guys will revert to the mean one way or the other. That is typically true.
Yeah.
If you are the type who will kiss a rattlesnake, you are probably eventually going to do something remarkably stupid.
It's very, very true. So we get to Kendall in a second.
You're welcome for all the philosophy out there.
Yeah, it's true. I'll tell you about Community Mortgage. Located in Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, Chattanooga, 30 years old this year. One of the oldest mortgage companies in the Southeast. The underwriting and processing is done in Memphis, so you're getting local underwriting and understands your market. Also the leader in condo financing in the Oxford market. Ask Jason about Community Mortgage's float-down option. It allows you to lock in the current rate, but if rates go down before you close, you get the lower rate. Contact Jason Lowe, 662-234-2704. Also, jlowe, L-O-W-E, at communitymtg.com.
You remember those motivational posters? They would have like a picture of something and then some motivational.
Yeah.
Maybe what we need to do for people like him is get a picture of said snake, and underneath it just put "Don't kiss this." Maybe that would have
simple, effective.
Simple, keep it simple, stupid. Kiss. If you're looking for something active to do this summer that doesn't involve kissing rattlesnakes, the Oxford Park Commission has you covered. During the hottest months of the year, registration for instructional programs is ongoing through May the 31st. Excuse me. Tennis, golf, gymnastics, cheerleading, fencing, and karate are just some of the many activities youth and adults can take part in. For more information on summer programs, visit them online, oxfordparkcommission.com. Like them on Facebook at Oxford Parks Commission. Follow them on Twitter at Oxford Parks Rec or on Instagram at Oxford Parks. Live well, play well, have fun. Podcast also brought to you by Harry Alexander. He's an Oxford-based REMAX Legacy Realty agent. Harry's been in Oxford more than four decades. No one knows the residential and condo market better than he does. Go to his site. It's harryalexander.com. Click on the Properties and Neighborhoods tab. Send him an email, ha@harryalexander.com. Podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, look no further than Grenada Nissan. It's just off Interstate 55 in Grenada, Mississippi. They have a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissans. Fantastic lease deals as well. Great service after the sale. Gene and Sandy have been a big part of this site and this podcast for years now. Let them take care of you as well. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com.
All right, now we'll talk a little college baseball on the Rebel Locker Room Hotline. Kendall, thanks for a few minutes this morning. Jump right into it here. I listened to you guys' podcast the other day. Felt that as of the moment, if Ole Miss, if selection was today, they'd be in good shape. But going into the weekend, I know it's not in a vacuum, but what's Ole Miss looking at? What is their situation for an at-large berth?
Yeah, you know what? I feel pretty good about those guys right now. I think when you look at the situation right now, you know, I think the conference record, you know, adds up to a postseason team at this point. Obviously, you know, if you're Ole Miss, you want to go on the road and, you know, get a game from Auburn. But, you know, the thing about it is, you know, when you look at Auburn, they're kind of a scary team right now. This is a team that, you know, has, you know, scuffled the last two weekends. They, you know, KC Mize and Keika Thompson have not been throwing 100%. They weren't able to kind of create things offensively on the road against LSU last week when I saw them. And so you kind of feel like they're due a little bit. So that's the scary part of Auburn. But I still think if Ole Miss can go on the road, win one at Auburn, you know, get to 500 in conference, let's say they lose the first game in Hoover, you're essentially to the committee's eyes, sitting at one game under 500 in conference with a top 40 RPI, I think you're in. So barring getting swept this weekend and then losing the first game in Hoover, I think that'd be the only way you kind of add a little doubt to the equation. But I still feel pretty good about Ole Miss. And the thing about it is, you know, I understand that the fans are frustrated, this team sitting at 31-22. But I do feel like when you look at Ole Miss, you know, I watched one of the games over the weekend. I do feel like when you look at this team from a regional perspective, you know, I think you look at Rollison, Parkinson, MacArthur, Dallas Wolfolk was electric on the back end over the weekend. Ole Miss, people are going to think I'm crazy, but Ole Miss is one of those teams that I really think could surprise in the postseason. And the reason I say that is I think you have a really solid, you know, 1-2-3 punch in the rotation. You've got an electric arm in the back end of the bullpen. The question mark, obviously, is the offense. They're going to have to do some sort of hitting, which they did against A&M over the weekend when they needed to. But in the postseason, they're going to have to do some sort of hitting. They're going to get offensive production. But if they can find any kind of offensive production in the postseason, This could be one of those teams that maybe, you know, maybe they go to a, you know, a Hattiesburg or, you know, a place like that and surprise somebody. I think if you're Ole Miss, I think the place you want to go is probably Hattiesburg, or the same would go for Mississippi State. I really like Southern Miss's claw, but, you know, I think they are a little bit vulnerable on the mound. So, you know what, if they can get in, I think they've got a chance to surprise some people. And, you know, that's the give or take here when you have a young team is they can drive you absolutely crazy, which it probably is driving you, you know, driven you guys crazy in the press box all year. But they also have the ability, like they showed against A&M over this past weekend, to kind of step up and win some games that maybe people didn't expect them to.
Yeah, I think you had them one game better in conference. They win one this weekend. They're at 14-16. Is that still okay? Because they're 13 and 14 right now.
I mean, okay. 14-16 typically in most years gets you in. The only thing I will say, Chase, is I think when you look at the situation around the country, you have to look at some of the other bubble teams.
Yeah.
You know, right now, you know, for instance, Washington, Utah, Louisiana Lafayette, teams like that, are in the mix for at large berths as well. So while we say, yeah, one win here, maybe even if you go 0-1 and Hoover gets you in, you know what? A lot of it kind of depends on what other teams do around the country too. Let's say Louisiana Lafayette, wins this weekend and then goes off to the Sun Belt tournament and rolls through it. They would probably be in. What if Utah, the last two weekends, wins its series? Utah would have a strong case. Same goes for teams like Washington. So I think if you're Ole Miss, there is a shred of doubt if you only win one this weekend. But I think if you win two, I think it's a stone cold lock. I mean, they would be in the postseason without a doubt. So I mean, there's a little bit of wiggle room here, but I still feel good about them.
What a couple different things to that, and it's probably completely unfair, but it's been a message board post, so I'm going to ask you anyway, even though that's a really scary sentence. I know there's a lot of teams involved, as you said. It's not head to head. It's just putting 64 teams into a bracket. But when you look at Washington, because our message board keeps asking me, and I don't have a good answer for this, with that 68 RPI, with the 500 record in the Pac-12, what is their argument for getting in maybe over an SEC team that's below 500 but obviously is going to have a few more sexy wins on the resume?
Sure. Right now, I don't really think Washington has a strong argument over Ole Miss at this point. We had Washington out of the field this past weekend. The thing I look at when I look at the Huskies' resume is it's not overwhelming. I mean, they have a series win at UCLA, which is solid, but, I mean, UCLA is a 61 RPI. And really the only other plus for the Huskies right now is Baylor, sitting at a 10 RPI. They won 2-3 from Baylor at home. So those are kind of the two plus marks, for Washington right now. So right now I would have Ole Miss certainly ahead of Washington in my pecking order. Losing a Lafayette, we're talking about bubble teams here. Louisiana Lafayette's kind of a different animal. The Cajuns, for the most part, have been pretty consistent. They've only lost two series the entire year. This is a team that's sitting at 10-8 against RPI Top 50, and that's pretty impressive. And they went out in non-conference and played tough teams. They have a non-conference strength of schedule that's solid at 47. And they've got a non-conference series whenever Southern Miss at home. So a team that probably will be hosting. So, Washington, Utah, I feel like, are probably a step behind Louisiana Lafayette at this point. And the good news for Ole Miss fans is we had Lafayette in our field this past weekend along with Ole Miss. So I think the teams you want to watch are those two Pac-10 or Pac-12 teams. You want to hope there's not a bunch of upsets. You look in the SilCon with Mercer. I don't think Mercer gets in at this point if they don't win the conference tournament. But let's say Mercer loses and the committee still puts them in. Well, all of a sudden, that takes away a bit. How about the South one with McNeese State and Southeastern Louisiana both being in our field this week? What if Houston Baptist wins that tournament? Does the committee put all three of them in? So you also want to watch out for the stolen bits, too. That can cause a lot of headaches as we get to the end of next week.
Yeah, I did some research, I guess, a couple weeks ago. And over the last 5 years, five of the seven teams with 14 wins in the league got in. Now, they all had top 30 RPIs. And then on the other side of it, you had Missouri, I guess, in 15 that went 15-15 and didn't get in, even though their RPI was like 51 or something. Very, very bubbly for an SEC school. And then obviously those two, Alabama and Kentucky, didn't get in last year at 15-15. But I guess I'm saying all that to ask this. If Auburn wins one of two and then loses the first game in Hoover, could they be in trouble at 15-15, which seems like a crazy sentence a few weeks ago?
Yeah, I think they're safe. I mean, you know, you look at Auburn right now, Chase. I mean, they're 12-10 against RPI top 50. They're 15-12 against RPI top 100.
Yeah,
those are pretty solid marks that they are in. I mean, honestly, they could probably be in a situation to where they get swept this weekend at home. And if they just won the first game in Hoover, they'd still be safe. So I think Auburn has quite a bit of wiggle room here. I think if they just won one this weekend, I think they're in. I think they did enough early in the season to take care of business. The only thing I do wonder about with Auburn, guys, is, you know, they did not make a strong effort to leave home at all in non-conference. And I do wonder if the committee, if Auburn somehow loses three this weekend, let's say they lose the first game in Hoover, you know, does the committee really look at that non-conference schedule and go, you know, man, George Washington, Holy Cross, Presbyterian, and Lipscomb, they didn't challenge themselves at all. So you do wonder a little bit, you circle that non-conference schedule as a potential roadblock for these guys if they, you know, continue to scuffle this weekend and certainly in Hoover on Tuesday.
I'm assuming right now Carolina is an easy question of being out, and how frustrated are people in Columbia with Chad Hulbert?
Well, it's a pretty iffy situation over there. You know, you look at South Carolina as a team with a 30 RPI right now. They're 31-21 overall, 12-15 in the league, 10-15 against RPI top 50. They would be out right now. I don't have much doubt about that. When you lose, you know, seven straight conference series, you really have zero business being in the postseason. And then when you look at the non-conference schedule, you know, the highlight of it, guys, is a series win over Wright State. I mean, you know, Wright State is certainly a commendable major, but you're still talking about a team with a 102 RPI. So, you know, I think if you look at South Carolina right now, I think you start with having to win the Georgia series this weekend. That would get you to 14-16 if you won two out of three. And I think you still need to win a couple of games in Hoover. I think if they can do that, they might find their way in. If they lose that series this weekend, I think you can pretty much take a fork to them. I don't see any chance they get in if they lose that series to Georgia, which, by the way, it's kind of a scary series. You know, Georgia's coming off back-to-back series with over Kentucky and Mississippi State, and you kind of wonder if maybe the Bulldogs are wanting to play surprise next week in Hoover.
You like LSU or State this weekend?
I think I kind of lean LSU. I've honestly gone very much back and forth on this, you know, and who knows, I may change my mind again later today. But, you know, I think I lean LSU, and the reason is because, I saw those guys last weekend, and I think the big thing for LSU for me is I think they're starting to figure things out on the mound. You know, Alex Lang put together one of the best outings I've seen from him in person. He was outstanding last week. You know, will he command his curveball on the road in Starkville? That's a big question mark. But, you know, I think you look at the rest of that rotation, obviously Jared Poche. I mean, we don't need to – that's a broken record. I mean, we all know what he's all about. And then, you know, Eric Walker was kind of the big story last week and almost gets a no-hitter, took a no-hitter to, you know, with, you know, two outs in the eighth inning. You know, he pounded his own. So, you know, all of a sudden LSU's 1-2-3 rotation looking really solid. Their offense really got things going last weekend against Auburn, especially the bottom of that lineup with, you know, Zach Watson and Mike Kapierski. So LSU's playing at a pretty high level right now. And I just feel like, and, you know, and I say this, and this is probably the weekend that Mississippi State gets a sweep or something, but, you know, I really feel like Mississippi State has been playing with fire for the last half of the season. You know, they go on the road to A&M, get pounded in the first game, find a way to come back to win that series. And there's no doubt Andy's done an amazing job in Starkville considering their injury situation. But you just wonder, and I'm sure you guys kind of get the feeling as well there, but I just wonder if, they're running out of gas a little bit. I mean, you've got guys like Denver McQuarrie and, you know, Jacob Billingsley, guys that would have, like, zero business being in a normal Mississippi State rotation that have come up big all season long. You just kind of wonder if those guys, A, are running out of gas a little bit, and B, you just kind of wonder if some of their luck is, you know, might be running out. If there's a team in the SEC for me that could easily get upset in a regional, it would be Mississippi State. I just think and I hate to not be a believer, but I just when I look at the pitching, it's hard to be a believer, honestly.
Yeah, because it's also the deal too where they have such a weird resume from a host situation. I know that, you know, it's kind of bubbly right now from there, but if they lose this weekend, they're 18-12, which normally gets it done without much question. But that RPI could be 26 or 27 going into the regional play.
It could, you know, I think we look at Mississippi State, it's a very interesting dynamic because, you know, let's say Mississippi State wins that series. Let's say its RPI only goes to 23 or 22. You know, what do you do as NCAA committee? I think you have to give them a host. I mean, you're talking about a team with a really good SEC record would have a bye on the first day in Hoover. And you're coming off a series win over LSU. I think you'd have to give them a host. But I think the line for Mississippi State is that tight. I think if they win the series, they go into Hoover a host. I think if they lose the series, I think they've got to get to about Saturday to have a chance. Because at that point, what would happen is, you know, every conference tournament win counts as a conference win. So their conference record would be very good to the eyes of the committee, and their RPI would certainly get a boost if they won. That'd be, you know, if they lost the series, they'd still win. They'd still be winning 1-2. They'd be winning two games in Hoover before we got to a Saturday. So we'll see what happens.
I figure it's got to be a pretty frustrating day in Knoxville. Dave Serrano resigning. Yeah. They get him in there, and you think, oh, they've made this great hire, a guy that's won up and down the West Coast. And then if you're Tennessee, yeah, it's like, hey, I hired him, and that didn't work. So maybe this job's just really hard, and this is very, very difficult all the way around.
That's a tough job. I mean, you look around the area there, guys, and you look at North Carolina in the region. You look at Clemson in the region. Vanderbilt, the obvious one down the street, and then you look at Louisville and some others. That is a difficult job, and they went off and made a what I consider a splash hire in Dave Serrano. I mean, there were a few hotter coaches than Dave Serrano when they hired him, and that's a testament to the fact that, you know what, the most obvious hire is not always the best hire and doesn't always work out. And so we just talked about Mississippi State. You know, how many Mississippi State fans were doing backflips down the street when they hired Andy Canizero? I think I was pretty high on that hire. I knew what Andy was all about, but you know, I think a lot of Mississippi State fans probably at the time would have preferred to go out and get a Dan McDonald, even though they're not going to get him. Go out and get a coach like that. So I think if you're Tennessee now, I think you have to really kind of look for the right fit, not the sexy pick. And I kind of wonder at this point if they kind of go outside the box. You know, John Sheff at Maryland is a guy that was with their AD, John Curry at Kansas State. I would really keep an eye on John Sheff. You know, do they go after Cliff Godwin? And you know what? Cliff turned down Alabama last summer. But you do wonder what the bad season East Carolina had. You know, does Cliff I'm not going to say writing on the wall is the right word or the right phrase, but I think if you look at their situation over there, if you're Cliff, you know, do you wonder a little bit, hey, you know, if I have a chance to get in the SEC now, maybe I should take it because maybe everything here is not going to work out perfectly. So if I'm those guys, I do give Cliff Godwin a call. I'm not sure. I don't think he would take that job, but I would give him a call. And, you know, the other guy, if I'm Tennessee, I call and make him tell me no, is Eric Backich at Michigan. Certainly Eric was at, you know, Vanderbilt when Vanderbilt got rolling. He's an outstanding coach. And a relentless recruiter, and that's what they need. But Tennessee's a tough job. You know, I was talking to Chris Burke of ESPN about this a few weeks ago, and it's a tough area to recruit to. The weather's a little worse in some areas in the SEC just because of where they're located and from an elevation standpoint. And they got Vanderbilt down the road, so it'll be interesting to see what Tennessee does. But I've always been a Dave Serrano fan. I think he's kind of exhibited a lot of class in that job. It's easy to be extremely negative when you're in a culture of losing, and I feel like Dave has been pretty positive, and you know, hopefully with his kid situation up there in Knoxville, he can have some time off, and we'll see what Tennessee does.
Speaking of tough jobs, Alabama obviously has all the scholarship trouble and different things, and I know it's just year one, but being that bad, even though nobody expected miracles, is his seat hot going into year two?
I don't think so. I mean, I think when you look at Greg Goff and his situation, clearly the season has not gone as expected. I think we all kind of figured that Alabama would be better than they are. I mean, you're talking about a team in the SEC. Like, you have to try to have an RPI in the triple digits in the SEC. And Alabama, was 200. I think they got down to 204 at one point this year. So, I think when you look at Bama, they need to show progress next year. And I think if you want to look at the model that Greg Goff is going to follow, at least for next year, I think you look at Auburn. If you look at Butch Thompson this year, you know, how many people thought Auburn was going to take a big step forward when they completely flipped the lineup with a bunch of junior college players. Greg Goff did that at Louisiana Tech, and that's what he's going to do next year. Will that be the formula that can kind of get them back on track? We'll find out. But again, you know, Alabama's for me is a lot like Tennessee in the sense that when you get caught in a culture of losing, it's really hard to get out. And we see great programs go through this. Look at South Carolina now. Look at Texas. You know, Texas fired the winningest coach in college baseball history because they had gotten to a point where it was a culture of losing. You know, they went back-to-back years without getting the postseason, the University of Texas, of all places. So if you're Alabama, it's all about, you know, it's all about the belief of being able to win. And if you don't have that belief, you don't have that culture, it's very hard to get out. I think the best thing for them to do is what he's going to do is raid the junior colleges, see if you can kind of flip the script. And once you do that, then you go heavy into the high school ranks again. But that's a tough gig too. Like I love the facility there. I don't know if you've seen it yet or not, Chase, but that they did an amazing job on that facility that honestly shocked me. Like I expected them to kind of go half-assed on it like they do everything else. It's not football, but they did a great job. I think they got a lot to sell, but at the end of the day, you know, if I'm a baseball player, it's tough for me to turn down Mississippi State, Ole Miss, Vandy, LSU, schools like that to go to Alabama, and I think that's a tough sell for Greg Goff right now. They've got to get a lot of positive momentum to be able to flip that a little bit.
Quick hit, last thing, one-word answer. If sure. I told you Arkansas or A&M ended up in Omaha, which one?
You know, I'd probably lean A&M. I know that sounds a little crazy after what you guys saw from A&M over the weekend because they did not play very sound. But I do feel like when you look at their rotation, you look at Brigham Hill, Corbin Martin, Stephen Kolick. I know Kolick wasn't sharp over the weekend, but I think he had gone like 30-plus innings and only get up a run or two. And, I feel like they have established rotation. I feel like the bullpen on the back end with Kaylor Schaefer, I feel like he is a weapon. He's not a Dallas Wolfolk type where he's just going to blow you away. But, he's gonna smash right-handed hitters on the inside corner with that curveball, as you guys saw over the weekend. And he's been outstanding. I think the biggest thing for me with A&M is they've got to get things going a little bit more offensively. I feel like A&M, for me, when they're playing well, is a little bit more consistent, a little bit more dangerous than Arkansas. But you can't, you look at Arkansas as well, with Trevor Stephan and Blaine Knight on the front of that rotation. I also like that, too. So that's a great question because I actually feel like those two teams are a little bit similar to me. I feel like they're not overwhelming, but when they play really good, they're elite teams.
Great stuff as always. Rest up for Hoover, and I'll see you on Monday.
Yeah, we'll see you in a few days, guys. Be good. Drive safe.
Our thanks to Kendall Rogers for joining us on the Rebel Locker Room Hotline. The Rebel Locker Room, West Jackson Avenue in Oxford. It's the place to go to get all of your officially licensed Ole Miss gear, all the colors, all the styles, everything you might be looking for. Ole Miss softball this weekend, 8:30 Friday night, the Rebels and Southern Illinois. And then games Saturday and Sunday, weather permitting. Don't know what happens if Sunday is a weird weather day. We'll get to that at another time, when and if it comes up. You can get your football season tickets, OleMissTix.com. That's OleMissTix.com. The podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you want, but with a personal touch. When you call OUB, you speak directly with a live person, all without having to press 10 buttons and no five-minute wait. It's the absolute best free checking account you'll find anywhere. It's called Kasasa. It comes complete with cash back or interest options. If you have a Kasasa account, OUB will refund your ATM fees nationwide. To learn more about OUB, check out Live Oxford, bankoxford.com, or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured.
Podcast also brought to you by MasterCuts. It's a lawn and landscape company serving Oxford, Tupelo, surrounding areas. They do what they say they're going to do, and they have open and honest communication with customers as well as employees. I'm a customer, so I know that is accurate. No job too large or small for MasterCuts. Some of the services include landscape design and installation, landscape lighting, irrigation, maintenance, and turf. They even do holiday lighting for you during the holiday season. So give them a call. Free quote, 662-607-7773, mastercutslawn.com. Sign an annual contract. Tell them about the podcast. First cut is on them.
Our congratulations to Michael Oswalt. He and his wife are now the proud parents of their second son. So congratulations to them. Big day for the Oswalt family. And if you want to get in touch with Michael, you're looking for to buy or sell land anywhere in Mississippi. He's a realtor, specializes in recreational and timberland tracts across the state of Mississippi, works with Tom Smith Land and Homes. He's by far the largest broker of land in Mississippi. Go to his sites, gotland.com. got-land.com, got-land.com. The real estate market, the land market's really hot right now. If you're on the fence about selling your land, your hunting club share, your home with acreage, now's the time. Give Michael Oswalt a call. He's ready to meet with you. Explain the process. He says if he can't earn your business in that meeting, he doesn't deserve it. 662-719-3967. Visit his Facebook page. Send him an email, michael@tomsmithland.com.
Where do you fall on the Jose Bautista thing yesterday?
You know me. I hate bat flips. Put the damn bat down and run the bases. You made the statement by hitting the ball 400 and some odd feet. No one's going to get to tag you on your way running around the four bases. Get to home plate. If you want to do the little thing where you thank somebody, cool. Then go back into the dugout and celebrate with your teammates. Quit showing up the other team. And if you show up the other team, they're going to throw at you. And then if they throw at you, don't back away from the damn fight with all your teammates fighting for you. Go participate in the damn fight. You started it.
Are we getting too sensitive about bat flips?
We are too sensitive.
It wasn't egregious.
It wasn't, but just put the damn bat down.
You also weren't. Wasn't he losing at the time?
I don't even, he's off his. I like the dude that hits the home run and puts the bat down. I like Chris Bryant's style of hitting home runs. Hit it, put the bat down, run the bases.
Reputation play a huge role in this? Another dude does it, probably not a bench-clearing situation last night?
I don't know.
Okay.
Sure, to a degree, but you're losing, and you're playing on a bad team, and you're flipping your bat against the Braves.
You have no history with Atlanta whatsoever.
I mean, shut up. If it's Texas, it's like, okay, you hate them, they hate you.
Play ball.
But what's wrong with hit the ball 420 feet, put your bat down, put your head down, run the bases, and get into the dugout and do the high fives or whatever little dance you have. And then if the other team gets pissy about that, then they're just being babies. It's not the World Series. I don't like bat flips.
On this date 13 years ago, Randy Johnson threw his perfect game at 40 years old.
He was pretty
good.
Speaking
of the Braves.
He was good. Yeah. Yeah. He's a photographer now. He's in the media.
Yeah, he had credentials to the Super Bowl, like something fairly recently where he was on the sidelines and I went, I'll be dang.
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew he had always kind of been into photography. I think DeLucci and I might have talked about it. That's his thing. But
he actually does some really good stuff.
What's your prediction? What's Ole Miss going to do this weekend?
2 out of 3.
You're going to get 2, going to get to 15 and call it a day.
Going to get 2 out of 3, get into the tournament next week, do something, and be a 3 seed on the road in the NCAA tournament and a scary one at that.
Feel good about it?
Yep.
What are they going to do in Hoover?
I don't know who they play. Gut feeling
Auburn.
Gut feeling is they win Tuesday.
And then lose Wednesday, Thursday?
And then lose. They get to Friday. They lose Friday.
Oh, 2-2.
2-2.
Well, you really have no reason to be there whatsoever.
Get to Friday, and Mike is probably looking across the field at another coach that is thinking the exact same thing, and they look at each other like,
Who can outdo the other one here?
Yeah, it's like, you know, we normally spend most of our time trying to beat each other. And now I'm going to try to beat my team, and you're going to try to beat your team, and we're going to see how this thing works out. And they're both thinking, I wonder who the hell we'd pitch tomorrow. And every time an outfielder sprints for a ball, I'm going, please don't hurt yourself. Please don't hurt yourself. Please
you dive, and I'll kill you.
Yeah. You run into that wall, do something stupid, and I swear to you, you're walking.
You might have to bubble wrap Olenek. He keeps getting hit in the wrist and the head and getting concussions and stuff.
I'd say, Ryan, you don't feel good today, right? You got a cold, don't you? No, Coach, I don't have a cold. Stomach bothering you? Your stomach's bothering you, right? No, Coach, I feel good. So you got a bad headache. Got a bad headache, right? Knee bothering you a little bit?
Hamstring flare up.
Son, just come sit.
Yeah. Come sit with me.
We'll visit. How's your mom and them?
Always wanted to chart a game, haven't you?
Yeah. You want to talk about pitch selection here the next 3 hours? What would you throw here, Ryan? I don't know. I'm. You know my opinion is once you're in the NCAA tournament, if you can't really improve your stock, if I'm Ole Miss, I don't want to lose Tuesday, and then after that, I don't care.
I did kind of laugh. Speaking of charting pitches and college baseball last night, Mike Gillespie tweeted, Justin Smoke homered, Whit Merrifield homered, and JBJ, Jackie Bradley Jr., just, you guessed it, hit a home run, talking about South Carolina alumni in the major leagues. Michael Roth, the former ace for South Carolina, was a great college pitcher, but a pretty, very, very average professional one.
Yeah.
He quote tweets it and goes, and I charted a nice game, .. Hey. Yeah. He's incredibly self-deprecating on Twitter.
That's good. I can find him.
He understands his role in things.
Sounds like my kind of guy.
He's a great college pitcher, but not all great college pitchers end up being great professional pitchers. Didn't have quite enough lead in the tank.
So. Oh, there he is, and I charted a nice game.
Yeah. So he's fun. Anyway, Ole Miss and Auburn, 6 o'clock tonight from Plainsman Park, 6 o'clock tomorrow. Ole Miss needing a win or two to continue their season past the SEC tournament. So we'll see what happens there. Midweek games are over. They finished 18-8 out of the year for those. Probably a game below what you'd like to be, just kind of guessing off the top of my head. Usually 19-7 is absolutely the worst. But anyway, so it is. What will be is the weekend. Moves on, LSU and Mississippi State playing for the SEC West this weekend. Unless Arkansas did something crazy, I guess, even though I'm not sure if that even would do it. And then Kentucky and Florida can both win the SEC East going into the weekend. We did not think I would mention the Wildcats in that sentence. But anyway, Nick Mangione, not a nice job there in year one with the Wildcats. So that's where we are. We'll talk to Chris Malloy tomorrow on the show. Thanks to Kendall for his time. Talk to you on Friday.